Welcome to the program Gone in Country, where social, political, economic, prophetic events are discussed through the exposition of the Word of God. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is a continuation of last week's program regarding the founding of America. We need to correctly understand where we got off the path before we can get back on the path. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand by the way and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. An Israelite, living in the 6th century B.C., seeing the moral decline of his nation, would have to have some understanding of Israel's godly heritage in order to be moved toward repentance. Just like we read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, therefore remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first. You see, understanding the past affects one's understanding and behavior in the present. And so today's program is an American history program. Now, in last week's program, we looked at a proper interpretation of Romans 13. And with this, we laid the doctrinal foundation for obedience to government. The contrary teaching to Romans 13 was the philosophy of the 17th century political scientist John Locke. He taught the social contract theory, that governments are established by men, and the implication is that if man creates government, man can overthrow government. Now, in today's program, I want to discuss the ideology and the people behind the American Revolution and the founding of America. Certain evangelical leaders are teaching that America was founded by godly men with godly principles, but that's not the whole truth. And I believe that it's very important for your spiritual understanding, even your understanding of what's necessary to fix America, that you hear the other side of the story. My purpose today is not to denigrate the founding fathers, but to point out where they went wrong so that we can see the seed of our destruction and return to the right path. I agree with many conservatives that we need to get back to the Constitution, but not as they think, the American Constitution of 1787, but we need to get back to the first Constitution in America, the Fundamental Orders of Connecticut, 1639. And it reads, for as much as it has pleased Almighty God, by the wise disposition of His divine providence, so as to order and dispose of things, that we, the inhabitants, are now dwelling in and upon the River Connecticut. And well knowing where a people are gathered together, the Word of God requires that to maintain the peace and union of a people, there should be an orderly and decent government established according to God. Then this Constitution goes on to state that the governor and 6 members of the council shall have the power to administrate justice according to the laws herein established, and for want thereof, according to the rule of the Word of God. But by 1787, and the writing of the American Constitution in Philadelphia, the secular enlightenment was well underway, and it had influenced the politicians and the clergy alike, so that God, Jesus Christ, and the Bible were left out of the Constitution. The assumption was that government could operate just fine on the basis of natural law and human reason. And the founders believed that there was no need for any reference in the Constitution to our nation being under God. The difference between 1639 and 1787 is about 150 years. And during this time, the American culture began to embrace secular humanist ideas while maintaining the language of Christianity. Consider the cultural ideological changes in the last 150 years between 1865 and 2015. A lot can happen in 150 years. And by the time of the American Revolution, a new generation had arisen that didn't know the Lord. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Now, many people have tried to defend the American Constitution as an impeccable doctrine of Christian thought. But it was no small theological change that the American Constitution of 1787 begins with, "We the people." But the original Puritan constitutions in early America began with the phrase, "It has pleased the Almighty God to unite us together." There was a deliberate apostasy from Christian teaching about government so that our Constitution does not make a single reference to God or divine truth. As Jesus said in a parable, they would not have this man, Jesus Christ, rule over them. This is the rebellion in the heart of every man since the foundation of the world. Psalm chapter 2, the nations are in an uproar, and the people devise a vain thing. The kings of the earth, they take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us." You see, man is in rebellion to God. For a very brief time, some Western governments operated under Christ. But as to be expected, the world threw it off. And the message of the church to the world today is that they must submit to the kingship of Jesus Christ over the nations. We don't change the message simply to placate the world's desire for a secular government or for a watered-down quasi-Christian government. We must always preach the biblical message that Jesus Christ is to be the Lord over every man, over every institution, the church, the home, the state. And Christians need to stop hallowing and consecrating the founding of America and take a good hard look at our early apostasy from the Lord. We talk about working to bring revival back to America. We talk about wanting to see another great awakening in America. But if we're ever going to get America back to God, we must at least begin by having the Christian community acknowledge the true error of our ways. The very documents and the people that were the first step in our apostasy, we're glorying in and we're sanctifying when we should be rebuking and reproving. If revival comes to America, it's not going to come to our nation by getting back to Thomas Jefferson or the Constitution, but by getting back to the truly Christian basis for government taught in the Word of God, taught by the Puritans. The 1787 Constitution only worked because it was still borrowing the moral capital of our Christian heritage. It didn't create the Christian heritage or the Christian basis for morals and right. We have gone too far as a nation to solving our problems by simply going back to the 1787 Constitution. We must return to the pure Christian concept of government as taught by the Reformers. This week I was listening to an audio message given by a prominent conservative pastor patriot, and he was teaching his audience that America was the greatest idea that has ever been concocted. That the Puritan ideals of a Christian country were a failure. But America's founding fathers came up with a better constitution that reflected Sinai. That the brilliance of the American Constitution was that we were to be governed not by man, but by God's law. And that man has certain rights from God. And that our constitution reflects the biblical concept of the fallenness of man. That man cannot be trusted, and therefore we need three branches of government as checks and balances. Now, all that sounds good, but it's not the true story. It would be wonderful if our Constitution stated that we are to be ruled by God's law, not by men. But that's not what it says. That slogan was used to justify the Revolutionary War, but it never made it into the Constitution. And the true doctrine of human depravity was not fully incorporated into our Constitution, nor were the basis for rights coming from God. our Constitution wedded some Christian thoughts with secularism. And if we're to evangelize America today, we need to point out the principles in our Constitution that are Christian and those principles that are from the pit of hell. But don't hallow the Constitution. It was the first step in America's apostasy. But I understand why so many conservatives and Tea Party people want to get back to the Constitution, because America has gotten so bad that the Constitution in 1787, as it was interpreted back then, looks like a godly alternative. Secularists today want to throw off even the smallest vestige of Christianity in our Constitution. So they reinterpret the Constitution so that the right to life doesn't really mean the right to life. And the right to the free exercise of religion doesn't really mean freedom of religion. So Christians are very glad to hear anyone who is teaching that we need to get back to the Constitution. And we're glad to hear anyone who wants to swing the pendulum back toward righteousness by pointing out to the secularist that America was originally Christian and that the freedoms guaranteed in our Constitution came out of a Christian foundation. But in doing this, let's not overlook the gross errors in the Constitution, the abandonment of God. And let's not overlook the terrible theology of our founding fathers. And let's not abandon the true concept of biblical government for a faulty, quasi-biblical concept of government taught by the founding fathers. David Barton is a well-known evangelical historian who travels the country teaching pastors and churches, homeschoolers, Christian school students about the founding of America. His stock in trade is in teaching people about the Christian roots behind the founding of America. And audiences are mesmerized by his explanation that it was pastors and Christians who founded America. He has great graphics backed up with patriotic sounding music. And people respond that they've never heard this before. With the secular lefts completely ignoring the biblical influences in America, and with the lefts denigrating of our founding fathers as racists, imperialists, slave-owning homophobes, we're all glad for the teaching of David Barton and his organization, Wall Builders. Homeschoolers want to teach their children a Christian view of American history, and they're glad for David Barton's videos and books on the subject. But David Barton's teaching is a subject of great controversy among Christian teachers who are more informed. According to the theology of the Reformation, our revolution and our Constitution were a step away from Christianity. Our founding fathers and the instigators of the revolution were well-meaning, but they were immature, misguided, theologically incorrect Christians. And if Christians in our generation are to grow in Christ and in the knowledge of the Word, they need to learn this. They need to hear the other side of the story. I love David Barton. His materials are very helpful, but they're incomplete. And being incomplete, I don't believe it brings Christians to the necessary level of theological spiritual maturity. Let me illustrate the controversy. On David Barton's Wall Builders website, he answers those who do not agree with his assessment of American history. He quotes John MacArthur as one of his critics, and then he goes on to refute John MacArthur's teaching. Now, John's teaching on this subject is not radical liberalism, but it is mainstream, fundamental, evangelical understanding of the American Revolution. Listen to what is said. David Barton begins with this question. Was the American Revolution an act of rebellion against God in the Bible? Many today claim that it was. For example, John MacArthur, pastor of Grace Community Church and host of the national radio program Grace to You, asserts, and now John MacArthur is quoted as saying, people have mistakenly linked democracy and political freedom to Christianity. That is why many contemporary evangelicals believe that the American Revolution was completely justified, both politically and scripturally. They follow the arguments of the Declaration of Independence, which declares that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are divinely endowed rights. But such a position is contrary to the clear teaching and commands of Romans 13, 1 through 7. So the United States was actually born out of a violation of New Testament principles, and any blessing God has bestowed upon America have come in spite of that disobedience by the founding fathers. Unquote. Now you see why I began last week with an exposition of Romans 13. Because one's view of Romans 13 determines whether you stand for John Locke and Thomas Jefferson or the Word of God. Where do you stand on this? If you're a knowledgeable Christian, you should know these issues. You should be able to decide what is biblical and what is not. Because this is about more than what happened in 1787. This is about how we should respond to bad government today. This is about what we need to be teaching from the pulpits about government. And this is about where America got off the path and what we need to get right. I was recently at a conference where Mr. Barton was praising the clergy behind the American Revolution, what was called the Black-Robed Regiment. Certain pastors so instigated the American Revolution that they were called a seditious regiment by the British. And in the presentation, a number of names came up, such as Jonas Clark, who helped Paul Revere and supplied his parishioners to fight at Lexington and Concord. The revolutionary leaders were wondering if the people at Lexington would fight the British. Reverend Jonas Clark said, "I have trained them for this very hour." But Jonas Clark, by any New Testament measure of a true biblical minister, was not a man of God. See, even back in the 1700s, fundamental Christian leaders like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, John Wesley had problems with the liberal humanist clergy, many of whom were coming out of Harvard, like Jonas Clark. Just like many clergy today support communist liberation theology and all sorts of other anti-biblical ideas, which they support by just lifting Bible verses out of context. Jonas Clark had no biblical basis for teaching that his people had the right to open up the chest of a British soldier with a musket ball simply because King George didn't give them adequate representation in the British government. Jonathan Witherspoon, clergyman, president of Princeton, signer of the Declaration of Independence, is put forth as another godly Christian pastor behind the American Revolution. But study the history. Witherspoon was not a fundamental evangelical. He was a follower of the Scottish philosophies of the Enlightenment. He was accused of teaching sedition at Princeton. Now, fortunately, America was founded by men like Witherspoon, who, although they were misguided and they were worldly-minded Christians, they were not like the rabid atheists of the French Revolution. So we do get from Witherspoon some godly statements about how Christian morality needs to be the foundation of government. But he was still caught up in the philosophy of the world, and he took steps away from biblical truth. Then there was the Reverend Jonathan Mayhew, pastor of the Old West Church in Boston. His sermon pamphlet, A Discourse Concerning Unlimited Submission and Non-Resistance to the Higher Powers, justified the American Revolution and repudiated the historical teaching of Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2. Mayhew was a rationalist. He played fast and loose with the Bible. He didn't believe in the deity of Christ. He taught that salvation comes by good works and your moral character. Peter Muhlenberg is also put forth as an example of a clergyman involved in the revolution. He stands up in the pulpit and reads Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it states that there's a time for peace and a time for war. He then says This is a time for war. He then removes his clerical robes to reveal his colonial soldier uniform. And as this story is told, Christian audiences applaud Muhlenberg for being such a great patriot. And yet the few pastors and teachers who know otherwise are shaking their heads thinking, is there nobody in this room who will call into question the integrity of a hot-headed pastor who's going off to kill men just because he wants a different government? Is this the way of Christ to change government? I'm not a pacifist. Countries need to fend off evil invaders with a military. But that's totally different from rebelling against your own government, especially on the basis of non-representation. To say, as the Christian Patrick Henry said, "Give me liberty or give me death," is questionable. But these men of the Black Robe Regiment were saying, "Give me liberty or I will kill you." Now, I personally believe that without the American Revolution, America would have eventually gained her freedom from England through a number of different possibilities. We could have bought our freedom, like in the Louisiana Purchase. We could have created some type of joint government with England. The way America was growing, at the very least, America would have become the mother country and England the minor satellite. And England itself became a democracy just a few years after our own revolution. You see, the biblical principle for changing government is given in 1 Samuel 26. David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy King Saul, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" David also said, "As the Lord lives, surely the Lord will strike him, or his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and perish." See, David understood that government is ordained by God, and God will change the government through his providence as the church just continues to teach and do what is good and right. Furthermore, the American Revolution set up a bad precedent that was used to justify two centuries of revolution and bloodshed. The bloody French Revolution was quoting Thomas Jefferson and the Declaration of Independence. The communists, the Bolsheviks, in Russia were quoting Thomas Jefferson. Mao Zedong, the communist Chinese, were quoting Thomas Jefferson. At the judgment seat of Christ, I believe we'll discover that because America did not gain her freedom God's way, there will be much blood on the hands of the so-called patriots. Whenever people break the word of God, there's a huge price to pay. Now, does this mean America cannot be blessed of God, or that God was not behind the founding of America? Of course not. God still uses wicked, self-willed men to put his own people into his perfect will. What nation was ever founded rightly? Even the Jews broke their national covenant with God the moment it was offered. God had a plan for America in allowing worldly men to create a quasi-Christian state to satisfy unsaved men for 200 years, so they could play their game of being only partially Christian. But through this, God had his true people saving souls and discipling the saints. My concern in all this is simply the teaching of the truth, to bring Christians into a full spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ, a knowledge of his kingdom and his standards for the nations. And again, my message today is not about creating some argument about the 1700s and the revolution. That's the past. None of us can fix that. The reason for this discussion is to give us wisdom concerning what we're to do today. Next week, I will continue, and the subject will be, can America be brought back to God? And if so, how? You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship. Contact me at godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can download this program or other past programs. Through email, you can request a complimentary CD of this program. I can also put you on my weekly email list, which will give you a brief synopsis of the upcoming program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, these have been weighty and heavy matters, but we know that you want your people filled with godly wisdom and discernment. Use these truths to deepen our obedience and our love for your ways. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask. Amen.